Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Besides shoveling snow this morning, people are busy getting ready for Christmas. Retailers have been busy since fall trying to convince us it's the last moment, and you know, we got just a few moments left to buy presents and so forth. Students, if they're not done already and at home, they're finishing up final exams, trying to get that last one done so they can take the trip home for the holidays. And household chefs are stocking up their shelves to get ready for those meals when the family shows up. Even here at church, we're busy preparing services for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and trying to see the sick and the homebound before Christmas comes. After it's all done, after Christmas Day is come and gone, do you ever feel a little bit blue? You get that kind of feeling like it's all done now, and maybe a little bit of that buyer's remorse that the exciting part of the year is over, and now we've got still three more years of winter and cold to go through until spring. And then instead of getting nice Christmas cards in the mailbox, you see you get these bills that start coming from all the things that you bought and celebrated. Loved ones say goodbye and we go back to work, and it's back into the routine again. Christmas is fine, but on December 26, there's a lot of people that ask, is that all there is? Sorry to have to mention that during the build-up to Christmas and all the excitement that we have right now, but I think that it helps us to understand the mind of John the Baptizer, who we view today in the Gospel of Matthew. At one time, he had the exciting ministry. People were coming to him by the droves, wanting to know what was God saying. He was preparing the people for the Messiah to come. He was preaching those words, those cutting words, and bringing people to repentance. He welcomed those people out in the wilderness. And I'm sure it was exciting for the people to hear him challenge those spiritually smug leaders. He also called the common people to repent. With John, it made no difference who you were, rich or poor, important or common. John had a message, and he was not going to be silenced. He was not afraid to preach it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. Then, one day, he baptized Jesus. He continued to preach his message and to live out his ministry. But as Jesus' ministry grew, the people began to follow the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John went on challenging corruption in the temple and the palace of Jerusalem until Herod heard what he said and put him in prison. It seemed Herod didn't like to be criticized for his choice of women, even if his wife was already married to his brother. In prison, John heard about Jesus' ministry. It was popular, but it must not have seemed to him to be everything that he expected Jesus' ministry to be. So he sent some of his people to Jesus with a simple question: are you the one who was promised, or should we now look for another to come? To me, that sounds like something like this: Jesus, we go around preaching and draw large crowds. I even hear you do miracles, but where's the big change in the world that we were expecting? The priests are still corrupt in Jerusalem and the temple. The Romans are as belligerent as ever. And what about me? Have you forgotten me? I'm here in prison. Come and rescue me. Get me out of here. This is not the kind of ministry that I expect to be doing. Jesus? Is that all there is? Can you relate to John? We celebrate Christmas every year. How will this Christmas be any different than the ones in the past? Same carols, same meals, same family, hopefully different presents, but the same idea. I give you something, you give something back to me. On December 6th, will we be asking ourselves, is that all there is? If we believe in the real identity of Jesus, Christmas is wonderful. It's new every year, especially when we know who it is that we're celebrating was born in Bethlehem so many years ago, and when he came to bring us. And when that time comes, we can really celebrate. We can celebrate the season with great joy and with happiness and with that renewed expectation. We believe that Jesus is God. The Bible testifies this, and that he existed before creation, in that he was able to do miracles by his own power, and that he received divine names, such as Thomas, when he said to Jesus, "You are my Lord and my God." Jesus didn't argue with him. He accepted that. The best evidence for Jesus' divinity, however, is that he forgives sins with the authority of God, as only God can forgive. But at the same time, we remember that Jesus is also fully human. The Bible calls him man, says that he has a human body and a soul, and that he also suffers and thirsts and has hunger and has sadness. And of course, he bleeds and he dies just like you and I do as humans, as the crucifixion clearly proves. The Bible teaches that the Son of God, Jesus, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and became a human in his birth by a human, Mary. He is not the subject of a fairy tale long ago and far away, but he is pinned in history, in the chronology of history, secular history. He came at a certain point during the decree of Caesar Augustus and suffered under Pontius Pilate. We're reminded of that, even today as we say the creed once again. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. This fact should bring you great joy every time you think about it. We celebrate it because God came to visit us. And while he was here, he did something extraordinary. Oh yes, sometimes we hear this and say, "Oh, ho-hum." Of course, not up loud, but in our hearts. Yes, the incarnation of our Lord. God became one of us. As if to say, I've heard that all before. Is that all there is? Isn't there something new to discuss? Well, I'll give you something new today we could think about. What would your life be like if Jesus had not visited earth? How different would it be? Well, think about this. We would have religious festivals and celebrations, but I think there would be little joy in them. Without Jesus, there would be no forgiveness. We would be under the law of good works. So if you want God's blessing, then you have to work very hard to please him. Every time you caught yourself committing a sin, you would wonder if that sin would now be enough to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. And what would you have to do to make up for that sin? If we had only our good works to depend on, I think there would be little joy in this world, and life would be terrifying. We would know God only as a kind of a boss or a taskmaster who is always after you saying, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done that? Always pointing out our faults. They'd always be before us. An eternal life? Well, that would no longer be a gift if Christ had not come. No one could be sure if they would ever make it into eternal life and into heaven. How would you know if you've ever done enough good? What would the measurement be? You know, in fact, Scripture says if you keep all God's commandments, every one of them, except one, when you break that thing, whatever it would be, to God, it's as if you have broken all the commandments. So what hope is there in that? That's an impossible standard to measure up to, isn't it? So the only way for God's protection in heaven to come to us is through forgiveness. And to win forgiveness for us, it took a human being to take our place under the law of God and keep all his commandments. And it took God himself to do it so that the whole law of God could be satisfied not only for one person, but for all of God's people. Jesus, the God-man, is that person who has fulfilled it for us. So I hope you see just through this that we have much, much celebration and much joy every day of the year, but especially at Christmas when we think about how God came into the world. God visited us, and Jesus accomplished his mission to forgive our sins and lead us all the way to heaven. And on top of that, because what he did is what God requires for us, we can all know whether we will be there in the kingdom of heaven or not. You see the joy in that? Isaiah prophesied about this joy that we have today, when he said, "The ransomed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they will obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away." We, my friends, are in that picture, for we have come to Mount Zion, to the place where God meets us, his holy temple. And yes, that is all there is. But all there is much more than we can know. We are the blind who receive their sight. We are the lame who now walk. We are the dead who will one day be raised up from our graves and carried in the house of the Heavenly Father. One more thing. Jesus said that John was the greatest of the prophets. But he said that anyone who is in the kingdom of heaven was greater than John. Here's one more cause for rejoicing. Because God here honors us higher than the prophets that he sent to speak to the people. It was sad, though, the way that John died in Bible history. His head was brought as a present to a woman who danced a belly dance. So it is with the saints of God. Jesus says violent men try to take the kingdom of heaven by force. They kill the prophets and stone those that he sends. But the kingdom of heaven continues to be preached in every place. Throughout history, people have tried to use the church, God's ministry on earth, for their own personal gain, or for one thing or another. The Crusades, the Inquisition, indulgences, these were people's plans to have their own way and put God's name on what they wanted in their own worldly plans. And here today, in our world, retailers and others have all but overpowered the Christian celebration of Christmas, haven't they? But this won't go on forever. No. Even in the midst of this buying frenzy that we're in, everyone can celebrate the greatest gift the world has ever known, forgiveness, if they know who Jesus really is. Is that all there is to Christmas? Well, if you mean Jesus, well, then yes. And it's all that we really need. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.